Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to our Sunday gathering at Holy Angels Parish. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada. Whether you're with us live or joining us on the archives, know that you are most welcome. Holy Angels Parish is part of the Community Catholic Church of Canada, an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Catholic Anglican tradition. The service today is led by Archbishop Deborah Vaughan. You can follow along with our service at www.communitycatholicchurch.com at the online worship page. And now, let's prepare our hearts to receive inspiration, grace, and affirmation as we come into the presence of our loving Creator. Well, welcome. This is Bishop Deb, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Next week, we'll be on the air at our regular 10 a.m. service time, but tonight, because I was busy this morning, we've transferred the feast till this evening. So if you'd like to follow along with our service this evening, there's a link on the show page there to click over to communitycatholicchurch.com. And so we begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Dear friends, God is with us. As we connect here today with open hearts, the presence of Christ surrounds and affirms us. We are one in this divine embrace of spirit. As we open our hearts for worship, let us take a moment and reflect on those things we've said and done, which we're proud of, and offer to God the things in our life that we've said and done that we wish to confess. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect of the day. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 4, beginning at the 42nd verse. A man came from Baal Shelisha, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate, and had some left according to the word of the Lord. Here ends the first reading. The psalm appointed is Psalm 145, verses 10 to 18. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doing. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is written in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the first verse. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother Andrew, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward where they were going. This is the Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. When I was a priest in Toronto, there was a fellow who would come around looking for financial assistance from time to time. And I hadn't been in the parish very long when he called and asked me for help. He had a very compelling story. He just got out of the hospital, and while he had a place to stay, he didn't have any benefits. There was no support of any kind for him. So I was moved by his story, and I told him I'd see what I could do. So I talked to the secretary, who had been there for several years, and he smiled knowingly. He said, "Ah, that's Bobby. He calls every few months, just like clockwork. We usually give him some grocery money, and then he's happy." So Bobby came to the church, he got his check, and he cheerily went on his way. At a meeting of the area clergy in the next few weeks, I mentioned the fellow, and it turned out that he was very well known by my colleagues, who were all kind of surprised that everybody else knew about him. As it turned out, he had the phone number of every church of every denomination for miles around. Didn't matter if it was Catholic or Anglican or United or Baptist or Presbyterian or even synagogue, he had a whole list, and he would call tell them his hard luck story, and he'd be heading out over to receive some cash. As we shared, we all realized that everybody knew him by different names and that he was very inventive, incredibly creative, and a wonderful storyteller. But as we took a look at the kinds of monies that he'd been receiving from our group alone, we soon realized that he was a clever con man. Yeah, he had some problems, no question. He had some issues. But none of us were well-heeled parishes. We'd given him money out of our concern, out of our compassion. And now, as we kind of looked at this, we couldn't help but feel deceived. Our church had decided that we'd give him charity money at Christmas and Easter. And we knew that he did, in fact, have some real issues, so to give him a gift of money as a blessing was what we came up with, not based on his elaborate stories or his deceit, but that we wanted to help him out of a sense of gift. And we explained that to him. But it didn't stop him from trying to get money at other times. We were having a summer fundraiser. I was dressed like a clown. I was in full clown regalia. I had the big shoes. I had the red nose. I had full clown makeup on with the big red smile and, you know, little dimples around my eyes. I looked like a clown. And as I was greeting people on the front lawn of the church, I saw him get off the bus. And he made a beeline to me. How he knew it was me, I don't know. He had some sort of clergy radar. I'm not sure. But he probably saw the advertisement. He knew we were having an event. And so he came and he asked me for some money. What he didn't know was that we needed that fundraising money to keep the parish doors open. I reminded him of our agreement, and I told him to have a nice day. I was resolute. He was not getting money from me that day. So he decided to make a scene. He raised his voice, telling me what a sick man he was, and he started to accuse me of not caring, how awful I was, how I didn't, you know, preach, I didn't live up what I preached, that kind of thing. So I told him to be calm and just to leave or to enjoy the day, but, you know, enjoy the fair, but he wasn't getting any money. So his volume started to increase, and I was aware that people started to stare. But I'm resolute, and I suggest that if he wanted, he could help out and earn some money. But that just made him more upset. And his voice raised, and he was like a little petulant child, and he started to stamp his feet and get that terror. And I wasn't sure if he'd be violent. I'm thinking, maybe I need to call the cops. But finally, he explodes, and he says to me, "You don't care. What kind of minister are you? Look at you. You're laughing at me. You're laughing at me." I wasn't laughing, but my face was, because I had this clown makeup on, complete with that drawn-on red smile. I wasn't laughing. And I was beginning to think maybe I would need some strong-armed fellows to come and escort him off the property, because he was very agitated. And at that moment, one of my wardens came swooping in, and she opened up her own wallet. She gave him a 20, and he left without a word. And I don't think we ever saw him again. Now, I was thinking of this fellow while I was reflecting on today's readings. Here's a man that never went to church. He had no respect for clergy or for the people from the communities that he was taking the money from. He saw us as an easy mark, and he played on our sympathy, on our compassionate bent, totally unaware that a donation to him may have meant that something else in the budget needed to be adjusted. Bobby was a user. He'd learned to play the system. And he'd become practiced at inventing lies, and he had his fake hospital bracelet, or maybe at one point it was real, but he would put it on. He showed old prescription bottles, presented doctor's notes. He spun these fantasies that had nothing to do with his real life. And as I reflected on him, I saw him in a new light all these years later. There had to be some point at which he was so angry or hurt or wounded in his life that deceiving good-hearted church people gave him a sense of reward. Bobby didn't appear to be a man of faith. It took a great deal of effort, actually, hard work for him to raise those monies day after day. He was very successful at getting his daily bread that way. He was only looking out for himself. No one really knew where he lived, but we knew it was all about Bobby. Every story was about how sick he was, how misunderstood he was, how afraid he was, how no one listened. I heard it all in a big litany on that day on the lawn, boy. And he was really a sick and a broken soul. And that's what got to people. As self-centered and as arrogant and as demanding as he could be, we also knew in our heart it was some kind of cry for help. Now, I've had people come to church and tell me they're hungry and ask if they could do something to earn a few dollars. And that really impressed me. I have had people come to the church and ask me to pray with them. And, you know, after that time of prayer and I hear their needs, reluctantly accept any kind of assistance. And, of course, when somebody comes to you in need, in real need like that, there's no question about helping them, supporting them, giving them a hand in some way. Bobby felt entitled. He thought that God owed him. And what he didn't understand is that if he just had a shift in perception, he would have experienced the abundance and the blessing that God would shower upon him willingly. You know, I think we all get to that place where we hold out our hand and we demand of God. We get tired, we pray, and we get frustrated, we get sad, we get down, we get in that place of frustration. We say, where's my stuff? Where's my great job? Where's my soulmate? How about that financial security? Where's my nice house? Why has this illness been visited upon me? Why am I so alone? Why am I not healed? The list goes on. We knock at the door of heaven and we plead our case and we feel that our needs and concerns have perhaps fallen upon deaf ears. I've got a friend who prays, and when things don't seem to be coming back to her, she says, God's gone to Miami. God's not listening. We pray and we pray and we wait for resolution, and sometimes we lose heart. Sometimes we give up. Sometimes we think, you know, it's just not worth it. But we got to turn all that kind of thinking upside down. You've heard the expression, to be careful what you pray for. Well, if you're feeling unhappy, afraid, alone, unsupported, resentful, frustrated, then that's what you're praying. That's what you're putting out there. That's what the vibration, if you will, of what you're thinking is what you're creating. And that's not what you want. What a powerful psalm we heard today. What inspiring words to take to heart. And I'm going to read three of those verses. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. We sometimes forget, when we're in that place of resentment and anger, that God really is with us every minute of our lives. Sometimes we get into that frame of mind where we feel like we have to do everything ourselves. We've got to be in control. Nobody else is going to do it for us, so we got to do it. And we're going on our own steam, and we get tired, and we get resentful, and we get really sad and down, and we get feeling hurt and ignored. But listen to what that psalm is saying. We are upheld when we feel like we're falling, when we're failing. We are raised up, and we're set back on our feet by our loving God, who will not let us go, who wants us to prosper and to enjoy our life. The Lord gives us what we need, and I put this in capital letters, in due season. That is, that's like the fullness of time. And the fullness of time God sent Jesus into our history. In the fullness of time, things come together. And we might be praying and praying, but if all the elements that are going to bring us resolution aren't ready, all the puzzle pieces aren't quite ready to come together, then it's not the fullness of time yet. It's not that we're being ignored, but sometimes things have to fall in place before the answer or the resolution can be known. But if we can hold on, if we can keep trust that God is good, will not let us fall, then we will receive. We will be given what we need. The hand of God will open and reveal that which we've prayed for, our heart's desire. The hand of God opens, revealing blessings, because every desire is satisfied. Now, it might not come to you the way you've prayed. We know people who have had amazing challenges in their lives, and we look at them and we think, oh my goodness, that must have been so hard. And yet they say, that changed my life. I'm a different person for it. Wouldn't want to go through it again, but what I learned about life and about myself was so valuable. They saw the gift. So even in the hard things, there is gift if we have but eyes to see. And this is the truth. God provides for our every need. When we allow ourselves to trust that all things will come to us in the fullness of time, then we can relax, we can let go, and we can let God work. When we allow God to work in our life, amazing things can happen. Along with faith, we need to maintain an open and an expectant attitude. We wake up every day, and even if it's raining, even if we stub our toe, even if we feel like we don't have anything to wear or, you know, something sets us off, we got to maintain that place where we're going to expect a wonderful day. We're going to expect that God is going to bless us. We're going to expect and look for the gold, the nuggets, the jewels, the good things. Now, the people that came to see Jesus on that mountain, 5,000, a huge crowd, they'd followed him around the water. They had gathered because they had seen what he had done, the healings he'd done, the amazing works that he was doing. So they came expecting something amazing to happen. They came with attitudes and seeking hearts. They came with open, they were open to anything. They wanted to know who he was. They wanted to see what he could do. They were there because they knew that something amazing with Jesus was going to happen. So he looked at them and he had compassion on them. They had been there for following him perhaps for days. They hadn't had much to eat. They were just there. And so he had some sympathy for them. And he knew that they were hungry. He was probably hungry too. So he finds this little child. And this child, who somehow has all this food, is more than willing to give it over, to share it. And they looked at the amount of food and they looked at the amount of people, and it seemed to be an impossible situation. Many hungry people and so little food to share. But all the people there were open to what God might do. They had come because they'd witnessed those miracles. Their faith was opening. Their hearts were seeking. It was a fullness of time moment. And Jesus blessed that bread. He blessed the fish. And the people experienced the grace and the abundance of God in a wondrous way. Now, this is in John's Gospel. It's also in the other three synoptic, the other Gospels as well. Multiple attestations. And the more frequently you see something in the New Testament, the more likely is that something really did happen, momentous, that stood out, that everybody recorded. And after they'd all eaten and were satisfied, the scraps were gathered up in baskets. Now, this is true for us today, too. Just as those things happened to the people in the past, so too things happen to us. When we seek our Creator's help, we're never refused. When we hold on to our faith, we're never confounded. When we open our hearts to receive the mystery and the truth that with God all things are possible, we are raised up and we're filled with new hope, with excitement, with inspiration, with expectant joy. Our God is an awesome God, a God that says yes, a God that affirms, a God that blesses each and every one of us with unlimited love. This is what I wish for folks like our friend Bobby, all who feel lost or uncertain, all who feel they have to do it themselves or play the system. I pray that they could just have a moment encounter with that love that God offers them. I pray that they would know even briefly the depth and the shining grace that surrounds them and supports them. They would not be playing that game anymore. They would be turned with their arms outreached to embrace the God who reaches back to clasp them to Him, this God who will not let us go. And this is my prayer for each one of us, that we would allow ourselves to be lifted up by our loving Creator, who guides us, who feeds us in body, mind, and spirit, who satisfies our every desire. This Creator who sent us Jesus to show us by word and example the ways in which God can touch our lives and calls us to take heart in the truth of the good news. This Jesus who walked across the water to be with his anxious friends, who fed the multitude with a child's lunch, who is present with us today, speaking to our hearts, calming our fears, and reassuring us that through faith and through love, we are truly blessed. Amen. And now let us pray. Because we have been fed and called, and our lives joined forever in Christ, we unite our voices in prayer, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the wisdom to know the difference between the world of God and our own words, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the world, for all nations, for each country's leaders and people, that peace and cooperation will be our common goal, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, that it may be a faithful witness, and that, maintaining unity in the bond of peace, we may know what it means to have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all people in need, that every person's hunger may be satisfied, that each person's pain relieved. And remember those in our heart who need to know God's healing touch this day. And for ourselves, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our own community and families, that we may know God's presence and embody God's love, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, lost in the darkness, we search for light. Surrounded by our created waste, we seek a promised land. Threatened by war, we break the bonds that make for peace. Help us to find our light, our land, and our peace in you, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are in communion with each other and all with the Creator. We are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. We are all one. all fashioned by the love of God, all gifted by God's grace, all embraced together by God's love. Today, as we connect with that constant, unbounded presence, may our lives be filled with joy, and may the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. May we be the hands of Christ assisting another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier, be with us this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us for this broadcast. If you'd like to support our church, consider making a donation to the Community Catholic Church, which can be made at PayPal. If you go to the website, you'll see a link there. Or you can send along a check or an international money order to the address that you'll find there. Your contributions help to pay for the website and the internet radio costs and all the service fees associated with its upkeep. We really appreciate your help in that. If you have some prayer requests, you can send them along to bishopdeb@communitycatholicchurch.com. And we will be praying for you and for your loved ones, and we ask your prayers for us as we continue in our ministry. Join me tomorrow morning at 7:30, and every weekday morning I'm going to try to do this for Connection Point, just a little brief inspirational reflection and a prayer to see you on your way into the world and bless you. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you, if not hear you tomorrow, next Sunday. God bless. Joining us today for this time of worship. We know that you have been blessed through this broadcast, and we have been blessed by your presence with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Community Catholic Church of Canada, please visit our website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. If you feel moved to offer a donation to support these broadcasts, you'll find a donation button on the website. Or you can send a check to the address found on the donation page. Join Bishop Deb every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. for a 15-minute boost to your day on Connection Point. Until next time, may God richly bless you.